live from Dallas, Texas. It's the Zach Ballinger Show, where we help you find your direction through passion and purpose. My name is Zach Ballinger. I am your host. Thank you guys so much for joining today. Two ways you can engage the show. We are streaming live via YouTube. So if you have questions for us, pop them into the comment box. I will see them and make sure to get them to my guest. Always, you guys know the career library is going on. You can email me, zach@zachballinger.com. We will get those questions to our guest and myself as soon as we receive them. Without further ado, Patrice, thank you so much for joining the show tonight.
Hi, I'm glad to be here, Zach. I'm so glad to be able to discuss and give you some information about special education.
Awesome. So we will jump right into it, guys. We're excited. This is one of our 96th career library editions. So this is a special education teacher series. If you guys are interested in this type of career, it will be added to the career library. Patrice, can you tell me a little bit about your background? What got you into the special education realm as a teacher?
Well, originally I was in publishing. I worked for Medical Science Publisher, and I was working on a book on autism. And something about the book just stayed with me. 9 years later, I had my son, and I noticed he started showing signs of autism, being on the autism spectrum. And I said to myself, well, I want to make sure that he gets everything he needs with special education, all the services. So I went ahead and got my master's at that point in special education and elementary ed.
Wow. And so, you know, talk to us about the career itself. What should, let's say somebody's out there and they're in high school and they're in college, they're interested in special education or specifically being a special education teacher, what should they know about the job?
Well, first of all, I find it to be very enriching. I've worked with children from age 18 months to 21 years, and I've come across all different situations. There's children who are gifted. Those are considered special education. That's gifted children. Then you have children on the autism spectrum. And in addition to that, you do have different learning disabilities. Then there's physical disabilities. And I've worked with all different types of kids. I find it to be very interesting because they're always in a different situation. And there's all different ways you could learn to facilitate children. And I found that it applies to not just my child, but when I'm teaching, I think about, you know, looking at education from the perspective of the parents and the children. That's important. So I find it very enriching.
And you might have said it there, but just talk to me. What do you love about your job? What are you passionate about? The whole show is built on passion. What do you love about it?
What I love about it is that you work with each child individually, generally in special education, and you're able to learn different techniques to reach them. It's always different with every child because they're all unique. And you learn these skills that you can actually apply later in life with adults and dealing with different types of people. A lot of times children with special needs, they often have sometimes frustrations and they might have behavioral issues, but you're able to intervene and stop those before they become debilitating to the child. And it helps you later on in life being able to work with different types of people. And you become very compassionate and empathetic because you get very close to the children when you're working with them.
And obviously your path is very noble and what you've done and to be there is fantastic. And it's honestly a higher calling, but talk to us about some of the difficulties of the job. No matter what kind of job there's always negative things. Kind of be honest about those.
Yeah, I will be. What I found is when children are behavioral, there's a reason and you have to learn to diffuse it by finding out what their triggers are as an individual. I'm talking about children who have emotional disturbance, or perhaps they have learning difficulties and differences, or children on the spectrum. There's always something about each child who have these different issues that you can step in, intervene, and work with them. It can be challenging. There's been times when I've got physically injured. But I think looking back on it, I think that there are triggers that you need to look for before that becomes a full down, you know, meltdown with the child. So you need to just like be able to be more impartial with each child and learn what happens with them. How can you stop a behavior from happening? And that's something I've learned a lot about. Having a child now who is a premature baby. She was a premature baby. She has a lot of learning difficulties. And by working with these children, I was able to apply it to my own children, the kids that I work with in the school. And you know what? There's so many different ways to help them by using schedules and giving them tacting cards and there's so many different ways that I've tried that have worked. And now that it's been many years I've done it, it becomes a second instinct, and it's very empowering learning how to looking at the child, knowing what their potential is and being able to say, okay, maybe this particular setting is too much for them. So then you change the setting, change the situation, and you're able to help them. You're able to reach them. And that's the most important thing. Behaviors are just a level of frustration. And it happens when a child's trying to do something, and they, whether it's speaking to you, communicating in some way, but if you're able to get on their level and see things from their point of view, you're able to curtail behavior and get to them and reach them. And that's the most important thing.
Thank you for sharing that. Now, I want to say, let's say there's somebody out there in high school or college, and they're like, well, what does the path look like? What certifications do I need? What degrees mm-hmm. should I get? Can you kind of walk us through what you know? And I'm sure it's state by state, but what does a student need to do as far as education, certifications, all that kind of stuff?
I remember this one teacher who said to me the following. I'm in New York, so this was really helpful, and he was right. At the time, I didn't know. Okay, so if you get your elementary ed, for example, sometimes they put two different levels together. They might have early education, then they might have elementary, and they have high school. What you have to pick usually the two that go together. Generally, that's how they do it in New York. You pick two. So say you started off and you're getting your master's in elementary ed and special education. My teacher said something that's going to be so helpful to everyone. Go back, get the certificates in the other areas. It doesn't mean you get the degree in it. You just have to do the extra coursework. You don't need to get another whole master's. It's just a matter of finding out what you need for certification, and they call it alternate pathway. What am I saying? You should get yourself quickly when you finish graduating, get the other sections, get the high school, get the preschool, and if you have the elementary ed, get all three so you can have flexibility. So later on, when they start changing the certification requirements, which they do in New York, they change them, and all of a sudden you're not grandfathered in. So the minute you graduate, when you get that first job, start working on the second and third certifications so you get them in place before they change in your state. That's something he said to do that was so helpful, because you can shift up and down and you have so many more areas that you can work in. You have flexibility, and also something very important, the schools start at different times. So preschool might start at 9. What if you're a preschool teacher and then you have an elementary school child? You can plan ahead the year before, and within school districts, they let you shift up and down as long as you stay in the school district. You can fill in other areas so it works with your family schedule. That's one of the reasons that I went and got all three of mine. So that's something, it might seem like excessive, but if you plan ahead and you want to be a teacher and you're thinking, okay, you know, I'll be able to take vacations with my children, you know, and whatnot, you need to get all three so that you have more of a window for when you need to get a job. That's something that he told me.
Gotcha. So just for clarification for the audience, it's a 4-year degree, and then you mm-hmm. have to get your master's, and then you'll get these certifications,
yeah.
correct?
Yeah, it's just, there's just going to be a matter of taking literally, it's an extension to what you have. So it's probably like 2 more classes, and then you take the test for the state, and you'll be in, and you'll have these things in place, so that you can do a lot of different things later. It seems when they were in college, they just want to finish. But you know what? You'll be so glad. And I was. And I thought he was right. So that way you have more things you can do later.
And guys, different states are different, obviously, for teaching. So check your local state requirements too, as well as if you're going into college, mm-hmm. make sure you ask a career service professional to help you through that. Obviously, different states are different mm-hmm. rules and regulations and everything like that. So. Right. You probably caveat that right too, because different states work different for teachers.
They work different. However, here on the East Coast over here, when you have New Jersey, Connecticut, New York, they all work together. So that's something that you can slide right into a position. I mean, you might need to take the state test, but your actual classes you've taken work in all the different, in those three states. So they have to check. They have to check. It's called reciprocity. And they can look that up and find out what states work with other states and see if it's the same requirements.
Thank you so much. Great information. All right, let's take you back in time. We're going to put you in a time machine. We're going to travel back to third, fourth, fifth grade, and Patrice is in elementary school. What did you dream about being when you were a child?
Honestly, I wanted to be a mom. I wanted to be a mom. And when I was, like I had said, when I was in publishing and I read that book, something about that book just stayed with me. So when my child ended up showing signs early of being on the spectrum, I was able to jump right in there and see. And when you're in special education, nowadays, you know, it's surprising when someone doesn't have a certain, everyone's different. And someone might have a deficit. There's something called central auditory processing that people don't always know about. That's when you background noise gets mingled with front ground noise. For example, if you're having a lecture and someone's tapping their pencil, they both sound equally loud. That's called central auditory processing. And a lot of people have some of these things and they're not aware of it. When you're a special education teacher, you can look at the person and say, I wonder what that is. And you can easily find out what it is and help. Even a typically developing child might have just a touch of processing or executive functioning. That's when you're having a difficulty organizing yourself and having a schedule. So even children who are typically developing, they might have some of these pieces just being on the surface of special education, and you can help them and facilitate them. So,
yeah. And I always like to ask what, you know, your childhood dreams are. And I say this every show, because sometimes we can go back in this time machine and it may not exactly correlate, but even you can tell by your passion, you wanted to be a mom. So obviously you loved kids. Mm-hmm. And so Guess what? It kind of translated. So A lot of times we can look back in the mirror and find our own passions right there and not even realize it. So I appreciate you sharing that. Now, I always encourage my students or audiences that are out there that are doing career development that might be looking for a change to do preceptorships or job shadowing. During this time, it's been a little bit more difficult to do that live. So let's do it virtually. Let's say somebody was with you, Patrice. They woke up in the morning. Walk me through a day. What would a preceptorship look like if a student was hanging out with you all day?
It would probably be similar to a student teaching piece without them actually creating the lesson plans. So they would be shadowing, and that's what we have to do here in New York. We're required to do it. I'm sure other states have student teaching as well. Essentially, they would be immersed into the classroom, like right in there. And then they would watch how we work with each child. For example, when I was in a Columbia University classroom called CABIS for children who are nonverbal with autism, you would have that student teacher come in. They would be observing. They might even step in and do part of the lesson. They wouldn't be creating. That's the difference. They won't be creating the lesson plan, but they might be tacting. What is tacting? That's when you have photos of words that you're trying to have the child learn, understand, and use. They don't necessarily, if they're nonverbal, they're not going to use it verbally, but they're going to be able to identify words. So you would show the card to the child. They would say it. Then you'd move on to the next one. And that's part of what tacting is. So you would have them watch that. Then you'd have your the person who's shadowing you. You'd show them a reward chart. And the reward chart, there's something at the very end, for example, computer time. And you have stickers that each section of the assignment that you're working on, they get every time, every few minutes, they get reinforcement. So they would get a sticker. Sometimes they get edibles, for example, like pretzels or something of that nature, depending on the child and what their needs are physically, their allergies and whatnot. But you're working towards rewarding them, breaking down the pieces. What is special education but facilitating a child by taking an assignment and making it into more digestible pieces so that they don't end up having a behavioral situation out of being frustrated. So you're the person who would be shadowing me would physically be right in there working on this, learning what it is to work with these children. And if it's a child with cerebral palsy, they would be working with fabrication of switches, which is when you take a toy and they're not able to perhaps use their hands or their head much, they have minimal use, you'd take a toy and you'd put an interrupter, a battery interrupter in, so that they're able to smack a big, big button and get Barney to start singing or whatever it is. They're able to play. So you'd watch this person who'd be watching with you, they'd be seeing firsthand the joy on the face of a child who's able to play with a toy now. And they might even help with the switch fabrication. So that's what I've experienced personally when I was shadowing, and I went on to create switches of my own for toys for children. So you see firsthand, that's the thing that's a little bit different with special education. When you come in, you're going to be looking at this child. And there was a little girl, and she had curls like Goldilocks. She had cerebral palsy, and she wanted so much to play ball. But she could only do this one motion. So I made a switch fabrication of this a recording device, and I put my voice in that said, my turn, so she would hit it. And it would say my turn, and they would give her the ball. And the joy on her face and just seeing that you're able to help a child, it's very enriching. It's just, you can't really put it into words. It's joy. That's really what it is. And the person who would be working with you in special ed, they get more immersed, I've noticed, because I have friends who have typically developing degrees for children, chemistry and whatnot. When you're in special ed, it really is special because you get right in there and you're experiencing one-on-one with a child or in a very small group, how we are changing the curriculum to help them. And you see it more right in front of you. It's not just a lecture. You're not sitting in the back of a class in English and listening. You're actually working with these children, and it's very empowering.
Gotcha. Thank you for that. Now, where can people find you? And I believe you have a book, and can you kind of share us a little bit about what you've got going on?
Yeah, actually, I'm working on a book called How to Navigate CSE Meetings, that's Committee on Special Education Meetings, and Advocate for Your Child with Special Needs, because I advocate for families. I'm working on that right now. But what I do have is I have a website called acorntotree.com. And on there, I created it for my daughter who was a preemie and who she's a few different issues with OT and speech. So I created it for her during COVID so that when we got on the computer, it was right there. It was a website with everything from babies to high school students. I said, let me just create something so we always have it. It was for her. It wasn't supposed to do anything further than that. And it has everything from music. It has math. It has languages, special education, autism, and it has chemistry. It has everything curriculum-wise that you would need. And it's to help children who did remote learning, who need a little extra help at home. And that's what it's for. It's all free resources that I actually looked at every one of them, and there's around 1,000. So I also put on there educational toy review, only educational toys that have a purpose, children's books and parenting books and products. So it's just everything to help support the family. And that's what it's the purpose of it. It was really for my daughter. And my friend said, show everyone else this. And I said, okay. So that's what it is. And it's going to be launched in March.
What a great resource. So, and where could you give the name of the website again?
Yeah, it's acorntotree.com. Awesome. And I can send you some notes and information on it.
Great. And then is that the best people, you know, which way of social media do you use for people to?
Yeah, I have an Instagram. I have a Facebook. I have Twitter. I have a bunch of different things. If you just look up Acorn to Tree, you'll find me, or you can look up Patrice Badami. I'm in a bunch of LinkedIn. I'm in a lot of different things right now.
And we'll put this in the notes, guys, so you'll be able to follow it. We did have a couple of questions. So before we go, I wanted to make sure to get to these. The first question comes from an elementary education major that says, I'm in elementary education right now. I'm not sure if I want to go special education or go towards elementary education. How would you guide me with this process?
Okay. So here's what I would say to you. I would say, what's happening now is they're having children be mainstreamed. What does that mean? Mainstream means the least restrictive environment for children with special needs. So as an elementary school teacher, now in 2022, you're going to find there's children with special needs in that classroom. Sometimes it's a co-teaching model where it's an elementary ed and special ed, but sometimes it's not. It depends on the school district. What I would say is if you're questioning, go for the elementary ed, but take a couple classes in special education so that you know a little bit more, just so you're prepared for yourself. Because it can be overwhelming when you're dealing with a child with special needs and they're taking up a little bit of your time, so that you're able to understand what it is, special education. It's a good thing just for yourself to know, because it's happening a lot. There's a lot of mainstreaming. And now, having just come through the COVID, a lot of children are having a frustration level. Even children who are typically developing, they're having a certain requirement for, you know, they need to have a little bit of attention and they need to understand lessons that need to be repeated a few times. So I would say go for the elementary ed and then take a couple of special education classes, just so you can work in that classroom and know what to expect. And then later, if you want to get the other degree, you can do that. That's what I would say.
Guys, obviously the expert in the field, but even from a career development side, I would say that too. If you're interested in other and you're in college right now, take a couple of courses on it. See if you like it. Get your feet wet. Talk to the professors. Mm-hmm. They know a lot about it. Talk to other people in the career field. Network with people on LinkedIn that have a similar background. Ask a lot of questions. Spend a couple of days with them. And then you'll be able to hash it out. But I 100% agree with you. A last question for us says, I work in a rural town and I'm from a rural town, and special education, we actually don't have a lot of one-on-one interaction because the classes are kind of crowded. Do you find that in other parts of the country in bigger cities, or is it more one-on-one?
With special education, there's different models. So there's the mainstreaming where your child is in a classroom, and there could be a co-teaching piece where there's a special ed teacher and an elementary or whatever level that they're in. Then there's something called integrated classroom, where half the students have special needs, the other half doesn't. They're typically developing, but that, again, that's a smaller amount of students. It's usually around 15, where the mainstreaming could be up to 23. Then there's contained classrooms where it's just perhaps 8 students with 2 teacher assistants and 1 teacher. And sometimes that teacher usually has a dual degree. She'll have whatever level plus the special ed piece. So that's a contained classroom. And sometimes you'll have a mainstream situation where you have 1 teacher who's a teacher assistant, really, who works directly with that student. So there's all different ways of breaking it down. And it all depends on what you want for your child. Speaking from the parent's perspective, you can request what you feel makes sense for your child. And that's where the whole thing comes together, is when the parent requests it, then the child, if they have a neurological assessment and they've been classified, sometimes they get a one-on-one, sometimes they're in one of these other settings. So it depends on the school, it depends on the students in your class and their parents and what they request.
Patrice, this has been great. You know, I know you're really busy. You got a lot going on. You've got this new website launching. You're in this career. You're taking care of your own kids. We just really appreciate you giving back your time, telling us about your career on the Career Library. Guys, thanks for the questions. I think those were great. Thank you so much for joining the show.
Yeah, I had a good time. I'm glad to do it. And I'm grateful because I didn't have anyone helping me when I needed to learn it, and to be able to take that information and help somebody, because it's frightening sometimes when you have a child with special needs. It really can be. So to be able to take the information I have and provide others with a little bit of relief and validation, it makes me feel good.
Well, we appreciate everything you're doing, and I think it's great, and it's been fantastic learning more about your story. Guys, thank you guys for listening and watching. Thank you for the questions. Until next time, this is the Zach Ballinger Show.